This is Cicely Tyson. It's a cool, rain-swept spring day. Somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, on a winding road in a green valley between snow-capped mountains, a lone car makes its way toward a cluster of large white buildings with red tile roofs that sit in the middle of a stand of Douglas fir. In the car is a young man. A young man on the rise in his profession. He's married. He has a new baby, a son, their first. His palms are wet with perspiration. His fingers grip the steering wheel.
How could I forget my watch? I have to try the radio.
The hostage is in Iran. We'll have more news in a moment.
Damn. News already. That must mean it's 12 o'clock.
He accelerates despite the driving rain. He rounds a curve, and there in the distance, the white buildings with their red roofs. But the sight of his destination only increases his anxiety, for the buildings are an institution, a sanatorium, and he is going to meet his father, whom he hasn't seen for 25 years. And that is only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Vivian, by Percy Grainger. Our stars, Elliot Reed and Jeff Corey.
The young man's car has entered the gate of the sanatorium. He has been directed to the bus stop where his father has asked that they meet. He parks the car and nervously approaches the shabbily dressed man sitting on the bench. They are supposed to spend the day together, their first in 25 years.
Dad? Dad, it's Michael. Mr. Hogan? Vivian?
Yes?
Oh, well, we've got two people anyway. That's a start. How are you?
Can't complain.
I'm sorry about the rain.
Well, weather stuff doesn't bother me.
Well, shall we get going? Car's right over there.
You're not Michael.
What?
You're not Michael.
Why, sure I am. I've got the whole day planned.
Well, I'm not going with you.
Why not?
I'm waiting for Michael.
Do you want me to give you a hand?
Keep your distance.
Sorry, I know it's been a long time, Dad, but I am Michael. I'm just grown up now, that's all. I spoke to your nurse, Mrs. Tedesco, on the phone. We made the arrangements. She said you were very excited.
I'm all right.
I guess maybe we startled each other a bit, huh? Come on, we're going to be late.
You're not Michael.
If I'm not Michael, what are you doing out here?
I'm waiting for my son.
Well, you got him right here in front of you. Who else would I be if I'm not Michael?
Well, that's your problem.
Aren't you even going to look at me? Can I sit down?
Well, you can sit down if you want to.
Mikey? Mick? Mickey? I don't remember. What did you used to call me?
He's late. You get away. He won't come as long as you're here.
Norristown, 1955. That's the last time we met. It was raining, like today. We sat in the parking lot in a car. You sat in the back seat by yourself. I was in the front with Mom. Should we get in the car now?
No.
Aren't you cold in only that jacket?
Well, you can go. I'm sorry you drove all this way for nothing.
Would you like me to call Mrs. Tedesco?
I'm not going with anyone but Michael.
I am Michael.
I'm supposed to meet Michael right here.
Okay, okay, here, right? At the bus stop?
Yes, yes.
In front of those buildings?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so here we are.
Go away.
Didn't Mrs. Tedesco tell you who I was?
You don't know her.
Should we go talk to her?
No.
Would it help?
No.
All right, we won't. We don't need her.
He's late.
He's
late. There's going to be hell to pay. You just stick around if you want to see some fireworks, mister. When he sees his son, there's going to be hell to pay. He doesn't have to stand for this. He's got other recourses. He knows the score.
I didn't know where you were. Mom wouldn't tell me. I had to insist. I had to tell her I had a right to know. I wouldn't be out here. I wouldn't have taken this job except for you. It's not going to help my career any to have directed the 3 millionth production of The Seagull. And I'm already way past 30, for Pete's sake.
Well, I'm sure you're very busy, mister. You might as well not waste your time.
I'm Michael. I can prove it. Look, here's my driver's license. Now, there's my picture. That's my name. I've got credit cards, union cards. There's my library card.
I don't want to see your private property.
I rented a car. Do you want to see the papers? Here. Now, that's my signature. And there is the car, right over there.
You're not Michael.
Look, I've got a letter from my wife somewhere. Here. See? It's addressed to me. Now, what else can I show you? I know I'm Michael Hogan. I paid a lot of money to an analyst to establish that fact.
Do you ever make a basket?
No. So, what I hear you saying is, you don't want to come with me.
I'm going to wait here for Michael.
Well, he won't come because that is me.
Go away.
We were supposed to spend the day together. You were going to come in and see the play.
Go away, Scott! Shoot! Yes!
Why did you say yes then if you didn't want to come? Why did you make me rent a car and drive all the way up here? Wait a minute. Come back here. Is this supposed to be a joke? Why did you make me come here, huh? Why did you make me come?
Father and son, after so many years, what signs of recognition can there be? The father remembers nothing. Is this by choice? We can't be certain, for in his medicated world, the line between choice and fate becomes blurred. The son, angry, but also relieved. He can go now, or could if something else did not hold him there.
Mrs. Tendesco?
Oh, Mr. Nystrom.
I'm Michael Hogan. I'm Vivian Hogan's son.
Sorry?
I'm Michael Hogan.
Oh, yes, yes, of course, from New York City. We spoke over the phone.
That's right.
But you shouldn't be here. Vivian wanted you to meet him at the bus stop. He was very definite about that.
We met. I'm going back to Seattle without him.
Oh? What happened?
Well, it seems he doesn't want to come with me.
Oh, that's too bad. I know he was looking forward to it.
He was extremely hostile. He refused to recognize me.
Perhaps he was embarrassed.
By me?
By himself.
Oh. Well, maybe it's just as well then, huh? Don't you think so?
Well, I'm sure he'll be sorry.
Anyway, he got away from me.
What do you mean, got away from you?
He just walked away.
No problem.
I thought I should come by before I took off and let you know.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, there's no inherent reason why he'd want to spend the day with me, is there?
Well, you haven't seen him in quite a while.
Hey, look, I'm here, okay? I came, I tried, I'm not responsible. Whatever happened was a long time before I could do anything about it.
I know.
My mother wouldn't tell me where he was. She got remarried. I never even saw a picture. So it was kind of a shock for me, too, you know?
I understand.
I just thought it was important to see him. My wife and I have a new baby. It got me thinking about who I was.
Well, that's a very nice thought. It's a shame it didn't work out.
Did he even know who I was when you told him I called?
He seemed to.
What did he say?
Oh, I don't remember.
Could you try?
It wasn't anything terribly profound. Something like Michael can come if he wants to.
He used my name?
I used it first.
So, He just changed his mind. Is that what happened? Or do you think he really didn't know who I was?
I couldn't say, Mr. Hogan. All I can tell you is that they know what they need to survive.
Look, I've got to go. Does he ever get any visitors?
He hasn't in the 10 years I've been here.
10 years?
You were going to take him to a play, weren't you?
Yeah, I don't know how I thought I was going to squeeze it in. We've got a matinee preview this afternoon, and we open tonight. With this rain, I'd barely have had time to get him back here between shows.
What's the name of it?
The Seagull.
You wrote it?
No. Anton Chekhov did. I directed it. I'm a director. Oh, it's just as well. He'd have been bored silly.
You'd be surprised.
I don't know why I do this to myself. I deliberately create stress situations and put myself right in the middle of them. It's an obsession. Why do you suppose I do that? What do you think it's a sign of?
Would you like to wait and try again?
No. Too depressing.
I know. Well, you'd better be off if you're going to make your show.
What are you going to do?
About what?
Finding him.
Where is he?
I don't know. I told you he got away from me.
Oh, he'll be back. Excuse me. I've got to look for Mr. Nystrom.
Who's Nystrom? A patient?
Yes.
You thought I was a patient?
I'm sorry. I didn't really look.
Did you try to force him to go with me? Is that why he wouldn't come?
No.
Well, I wish you'd told me this might happen. It cost a small fortune to rent the car. I have critics coming tonight.
We had no way of knowing this is how he'd react.
But he's in your care.
We had no way of knowing for certain this is how he'd react. Believe me, we're as sorry as you are. This was going to be a trial run for Vivian.
What does that mean?
We're hoping he's ready for transfer back to minimum security.
Ah, and I was going to be the guinea pig.
It was perfectly safe.
But we'd have been gone all day.
So long as you'd have him back by curfew.
I'm a layman.
He's medicated.
What if it wore off? What if he'd gotten violent? We had a 50-mile drive ahead of us. Just how was I supposed to act with him?
Normally. Excuse me.
No, wait, please. I'm sorry. I've got to ask you about his condition. See, we've just had a baby. We're worried. My wife, especially.
That his illness might be hereditary?
Yes.
Is there any other mental illness in your family?
No. I mean, not as far as I know.
Well, then it probably isn't. If that's all you wanted to know, you shouldn't have anything to worry about.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
You could have asked me that over the phone.
Well, it was an impulse, that's all. I just thought I should do it. I didn't really think what it would be like. Anyway, it's better to find out now than out on the highway at 60 miles an hour, isn't it? Barely make it back in time.
You talk to yourself.
I'm going.
Okay.
I'm sorry it didn't work out.
You were right about the rain. I'm soaked to the marrow. You look dank, too.
You want a lift? Back to your building?
Oh, that should be all right. I've changed my mind.
What?
I've changed my mind. I've decided it'll be all right to go with you today.
Having convinced himself it is for the best that he not try to take his father out of the institution for the day, Michael meets him again as he's about to leave. And, for reasons of his own, the older man seems to have changed his mind.
I've decided that it'll be all right to go with you.
You're sure?
Oh, I think I can trust you.
It's a long drive. You sure you won't mind being cooped
up? Oh, so much the better.
Well, if you're...
Here's my pass. We need to show it to the guard at the gate. They have dogs running wild here. So discretion is the better part of valor.
Well, okay. Do they ever take you out?
They took us to a county fair last year.
Fun?
What?
Fun. What, was it fun?
Oh, no, no. Too many people. They stare at you. I managed to have a productive time, but I'll be just as glad if they don't make us go again.
Well, it seems like a nice place. You even have a lake.
There are killer whales in there. It'll bite your feet off.
Are you really sure you feel up to this?
There's the case. I'll sit still so they can't see me. I used to be good at that. You just act normal.
Hello there. So, Walt said?
Uh-huh. Here's his pass.
That's okay. Oh, you hang on to it. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Go! Go!
I'm invisible as long as they don't catch my smell.
Sorry if I seem nervous, but we open tonight and the critics are coming.
Well, Michael will be surprised when he shows up and I'm not there. What's the matter?
Who am I?
Well, we met at the bus stop.
What's my name?
We had a long talk.
We are not going anywhere until you admit who I am.
You want me to get out?
No. Who am I?
The little lost sheep.
Dad!
Let's make tracks, mister.
All right. It's too late now to take you back. Damn rain. Can't see a thing.
I'll clean the inside of the windshield for you.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
I got a handkerchief.
It'll be fine.
I had a shop instructor in Norristown, Mr. Adolphus McPherson. He said, you always make a pad. You make a pad in.
Be careful. I can't see.
How's that? It's better.
No, look, just... Thanks, just...
I'll keep it wiped for you.
Never mind. It...
Nice view is very restful.
Just sit there, okay? Just relax. Don't try to do anything. I'll get us there.
We're going to a play, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'll need my tie then.
And don't shift the rear view mirror.
I need it.
Dad,
I have to get it straight.
Okay.
It's not straight.
It's straight. Don't worry. There.
It doesn't feel straight.
You can do it later.
It doesn't feel right.
It's fine. Leave it alone.
No.
I need the mirror.
Just a minute.
No, stop it. Stop. Relax. Okay? Sit on your hands. Take a deep breath. Can you do that? Just let your stomach expand.
We have a yoga teacher. She comes to see us 3 times a week.
How about if I tell you about the play?
If you think it would help.
I'll just give you the storyline.
Okay.
It's called...
But not the ending.
It's called The Seagull. It's about a group of people living in a summer house in Russia about 1890.
You lost me.
Well, the mother is a famous actress, and she's in love with a successful writer. And she has a son who is older than she cares to admit.
Are there any animals in this play?
There is some animal imagery, hence the title.
Last night, two of the regular patients and I had a very happy little evening. The grounds crew said they'd seen a fox on the road to the fishing dock, so we went down to try to catch a glimpse of it. On the way, we saw nothing but the broken sewer drain the fox uses as an escape route. So we sat on the benches on the dock and watched the boats and the water skiers from across the lake. We waved to each one, and they all waved back. Bathing suits were very colorful. So were the boats, for that matter. Oh, it made for long to be remembered picture. Well, when it was time to go back, we walked very stealthily to increase our chance to see the fox. We passed the sewer hole. Nothing. So we relaxed all caution and kicked the rocks on the road in disappointment. About 100 yards past the opening, we found a garter snake. Its head was crushed, but its tail was still moving, and we gathered round to watch it. Then, by chance, I happened to look back down the road, and there was the fox we'd been stalking. It was trotting after us like a little dog. When it saw us looking, it stopped, sat down, scratched its ear with its hind paw, just like a dog. Then it disappeared in the bushes.
You see, the son is in love with a young girl who wants to be an actress. And the mother...
Look, there's a motel.
Oh. Hey, why don't I just turn on the radio?
Well, if you think it'll help.
Okay, skip it.
There's another motel. Are we going to check into a motel tonight?
No.
I want to get some fresh food. That'd be better then.
Yeah, we can have a quick bite after the show if there's time before I take you back.
I'm not going back.
What?
I'm not going back.
Well, of course you're...
Who said I was going back?
You have to be back.
We don't have to do anything. You got that, mister?
But I have to take you back. I mean, that was the deal.
But you can't. There'd be reprisals.
Reprisals?
There would.
Against whom?
Me. I'm trying to change doctors. They don't like that. My doctor's name is Cornelius Braden, but he's old and cynical. Because he doesn't have anything to lose anymore. I've written 3 letters to a new Jamaican doctor called Soki. He's more youthful and open-minded.
What's he say?
Well, he acts like he hasn't received them. He must have been forced to show the letters to Braden. That means extra injections.
Can't you talk to Mrs. Tendesco?
No.
She seems reasonable.
She puts on a good show for the outsiders because we're her bread and butter, but in her heart of hearts, she's a leopard.
Well, what about your things?
They're all stolen by now. The other patients steal everything.
How would you live?
By hook or by crook.
What about your medication?
I don't need it anymore. I'm always okay once I get away from that place.
Where would you want to live?
Back to veterinary school. I'll get some clothing to improve my appearance. Professor Milton Dornhofer said there's always a place for me.
Have you written to him?
No.
Has he written to you?
I don't want to talk about this with you. I don't have room. I'm tired of being in this car with you. You stop.
I can't.
I want to get out.
It's raining.
I'll be all right.
We're going too fast.
I want to get out.
No. This is our day together.
I don't make deals, mister.
I am not letting you out of this car.
Just drop me off at a clothing store.
I've got you in this car, and I'm not letting you out. Now, we are going to Seattle, whether you like it or not, so just sit there. You're my father. We can talk about it later. We'll go see the show, and if you still feel this way, we can talk about it at dinner.
If you love me, you won't take me back.
Cicely Tyson again, and here's the fourth act of Vivian. When we left them, father and son were driving along a rain-swept highway, just beginning the struggle to come to know each other after 25 years apart. The rest of the trip passed without much incident, and Vivian sat quietly through the play. Father and son have grown somewhat more at ease with each other. And as we rejoin them, they are having an early dinner before Michael must take his father back.
Tasty. Wholesome food. Makes a difference. Nice to have things that come on your plate hermetically sealed.
Yeah. You almost done?
There.
Don't rush. It's just that tonight the show opens officially. That's in 2 hours, and I have to be back.
Here's your program.
Don't you want to keep it?
Oh, no. You can use it again.
Did you like the play?
Well, I liked it, but I didn't enjoy it. Everyone was so miserable. Of course, that's communism for you.
Dad, the play took place before the communists.
Can we go to a bar now to drink beer and watch TV?
Well,
you need a stronger plot. It was too hard to keep tabs on so many people at once. That wasn't a real dead bird, was it? I didn't like that part.
No.
Why did that one fella kill himself at the end?
He didn't have his medication.
He was sick? He didn't look very sick to me. Just long-winded.
Sick in his soul. His mother had no time for him, and the girl he loved didn't love him back.
My mother had no use for me either. But you never catch me drinking 2 ounces of gin and a half bottle of Carbona, even if I knew it no longer contained carbon tet.
That isn't what he did, Dad.
After a while, you realize that suicide hasn't taken care of anything either. The best thing is just let them help you. You all right?
Yeah, I just don't feel so good.
There are times when I don't feel so good myself. You better reconsider your decision to make a career of the theater.
Why?
There isn't much future in it. The play this afternoon, for example, the Seagull. It looks like it was written a long time ago.
Yeah.
So its frosting of attractiveness is rubbed off. I don't think it'll be much in demand.
But that's the beauty of it. It is in demand. It'll always be in demand because it radiates its own necessity. See, that's what art does. That's its function, to create value. Science can't do that. I mean, a doctor can save your life, but he can't make it worth living.
Yeah.
I'm happy in the theater, Dad. It's... I don't know how to explain it. It's where I have to be. It's my whole life.
Are you a success?
Oh, yes. We're moving to Hollywood next fall. I got a lot of experience this year directing a soap opera on TV. People are beginning to know me. So I'm doing okay, I guess. I screwed up in other ways. But who isn't? It's a trade-off.
Just remember, fame and fortune are short-lived. And you look like you're past the age to stand the sexual stress of the arts.
Well, I'm married, so that's not really a problem anymore.
Is your wife a woman?
Yes.
Heterosexual marriage in the theater isn't very stable, is it?
Oh, Harriet's not an actress. She has a degree in English literature and another in sociology. She's an interior decorator with a side interest in art.
She's got a lot of options.
Well, not anymore. Oh, we just had a baby. I don't know what happened. We decided not to have children because we both have our careers to think of, and well, we knew we'd resent the responsibility. See, Harriet is afraid of putting too much pressure on kids because she's such an achiever herself, and I think it'll be tough to relate to someone so much younger than I. I don't know. You don't have kids, you miss some things. You do, and you miss others. It's a trade-off, I guess. One thing's for certain.
We're going to have to change our lifestyle.
You must be happy about that.
Well, in fact, we are thinking about a separation. I'll make enough money in Hollywood to support them, Harriet and the baby. So, really, for the first time in our marriage, divorce is a viable alternative. But I do feel guilty about it, so I guess all's not lost. Oh, look here. Harriet just sent me some pictures this morning of the baby. You want to see them?
No. People shouldn't take pictures of babies.
Well, he is kind of cute. His name's Dougal. I don't know. Sometimes I get so depressed. I mean, it's okay. I know what I should do, but it doesn't work. Now I'm going to Hollywood. I'm fine.
You ever try to commit suicide?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. Everything's so relative. Why did you ask that?
That's the first thing the doctors want to know. If you got a family to support, you should go into horseshoeing. It's a good money-making trade, and it's well-respected. Get in touch with Philip Ewing at 1016 South 45th Street in Philadelphia. He doesn't have a zip code.
All right, I'll look into it.
I'll send you some fresh fruit.
Thanks. I'll eat it. Dad, we have to go.
Okay. Can we go to a clothing store now?
Well, it's kind of late, Dad. They're probably all closed.
Tomorrow.
Let's just go for a ride, huh?
Where?
Just drive around. Digest our food.
Where are we going?
I have to take you back. I'm sorry, Dad.
You can turn on the radio if you want.
Hey, you got your pad? My window could use a good wipe.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Thanks. Hey, look, the stars are out.
I used to do that for my father. He let me sit beside him in the front seat and keep the windshield clean.
Were you close to him?
Oh, he took me on long trips. We went to the Chicago World's Fair in Michigan, Florida, Ocean Boulevard. Once we drove all the way to New Mexico. My mother had to sit in the back seat.
What did he do for a living?
Operated a steam shovel.
What was his name?
Edgar.
Huh. What was your mother's name?
Dougal.
Huh. It's just that Mom never told me anything about you. Except once she said you liked the out of doors.
That's right. I could disappear for days in the mountains, and no one would know where I was. I was alone on a mountain one day when I made a discovery. If I stared long enough at a landscape, I could blend in with it and disappear. The animals would go about their business as if I weren't there, and the birds would sing different songs. I was no one. And that made me special.
That sounds wonderful.
The trouble began when I started doing it around the house. I can't do it at all now. They put stuff in your food for things like that.
Were you really studying to be a veterinarian? Hmm. How did you and Mom meet?
I was in charge of the pets at the college. See, there wasn't supposed to be any. She had a cat. The confiscated animals were sent to the labs. Recently, I've been interested in suspended animation. Freezing people until you can find a cure for them. I think that's a good idea. You'd be better off in taxidermy. You could try mastering the injection method of mounting animals. The disadvantage with horseshoeing is the estate owner's wives. They take a shine here.
Was it Mom who... Was she the one who took you to Norristown?
Oh, no. I went on my own free will.
Well, we're here.
There's a lot more I want to ask you.
I had a good time.
Is there anything I could send you?
Oh, don't bother.
I could buy you some clothes.
Well, what I have fits well enough.
Do you want me to send you some fruit or some food, nuts, something that's fresh?
They feed us very well.
Wait. That doctor you said you wanted, Dr. Soki, you want me to arrange that?
You're going to miss your opening night.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I already have.
I better go in.
Dad.
I have everything I need.
They may ask me to come back next year and direct another show. I could bring Harriet and the baby. I know they'd love to meet you.
I won't be disappointed if you don't.
Well, good evening.
Oh, Mrs. Tedesco.
So you went after all.
Yes, ma'am.
Good for you.
And did you have a nice time?
Very nice. This is Michael. He's my son. He directs soap operas on the TV.
Oh, well. well, Vivian, will you let them know at the office that you're back?
Yes, ma'am. Good night.
So, he recognized you after all.
I didn't know. I had no idea. I just thought we were two people. I want to do something to help him.
Yes?
Well, he told me he wanted to change doctors. I'd like to see that that's taken care of.
Cornelius Braden is one of the best people on our staff. He and Vivian get along famously.
Maybe it's just in his mind, but if it would make him happy, I'd like to see it done.
Well, did he say what doctor he'd prefer?
Yes, the Dr. Soki.
Dr. Soki?
Yeah, if there's any expense or legal problem involved, I'll be glad to pay it.
Mr. Hogan, Jimmy Soki is a ward attendant.
He's not a doctor?
No, he's a student at the local junior college.
Oh.
As far as I know, he's not even in pre-med.
So there's no problem?
No, none at all.
It's just that he seemed to get better as the day went on.
That's because he was enjoying himself. I've always believed that if every patient could have one person who would devote himself exclusively to him, we could be rid of mental illness.
Then you think Dad can get better?
No.
But you just said that.
I know. Good night, Mr. Hogan.
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Vivian, was written by Percy Granger and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Jeff Corey and Elliot Reed. Featured in the cast were Peggy Weber and Jack Carroll. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Serta Perfect Sleeper Mattresses and Foundations, with a top comfort and deep support for firmness that feels good. And that's a healthy investment in yourself.
This is Leonard Nimoy. At this same time tomorrow, you'll be hearing another original radio play earmarked for adventure.